Saturdays.
The Cam Fraser on Instagram and camfraser.com is where you can go. You are Australia's leading men's sex coach. Always love what you've got to say. Always love chatting for every Sex Mondays. Now, it's been a few weeks, but on your Instagram the other day, it had something about challenging the man box. And as someone who's often thinking, and I can only assume other men out there are thinking similar things about how much is a societal construct and how many external pressures have we just been born with, almost so to speak, and just raised and sort of think, well, right, I've got to do this because I'm a man and this is how I need to be versus just, well, I actually quite like this. So maybe I should do this because I like doing this. The man box is a curious concept. Do you want to elaborate on that a little bit?
Yeah, man. Well, it came out of the 1980s. There was an activist called Paul Kibble, and he did a lot of work with young men in the Oakland area of California. And he developed this kind of idea of what's called the act like a man box. And this idea is that there's this unwritten set of rules that as boys grow up, they kind of learn through interacting with other guys and through interacting with our kind of society that they have to follow in order to be quote unquote a man, right? Or a real man is the kind of language that we often use. So some of that is like, it's very stereotypical. It's very, very macho, a lot of machismo, but it's this idea that you've got to be, you know, stoic and emotionless and kind of aggressive and assertive and dominant, strong. You've got to be straight as well. You know, the schoolyard language of, oh, that's so gay if you do something that's not considered manly. So it's this kind of like prescriptive set of characteristics that if you don't adhere to, if you don't follow, then you'll get ostracized and bullied and kind of pushed outside that box. And because you kind of get bullied and teased if you're not in that box, you try and do everything you can to get back into it. And oftentimes what that looks like is doing something hyper masculine or, you know, asserting your manliness over another guy by like beating him up, or, you know, sometimes it's in a healthy way through maybe competition, through sports. Could be by bullying some other kid who's like less manly than you, for example, or by doing something that's generally considered not very healthy so that you get allowed back in the box. So you get your, you know, you get given your man card back, so to speak. So it tends to be quite an unhealthy dynamic, but it's something that shows up quite a lot in not only young kids, but also in adult men as well.
And yeah, so obviously it can happen in all phases of life and everyday scenarios. If we were to take this into the bedroom, you said something about, you know, you giving up control as a guy in the bedroom can be healthy. What are you referring to there when you say like give in or resist or give up control in the bedroom? Surely not just on all fours becoming pegged. Like it must be like other things going on. Yeah.
Well, that's definitely one way of doing it. But the idea of like being a quote unquote man or a real man in the bedroom is, you know, typically you've got to be the guy who's in control, who's dominant and who's assertive and who's kind of taking charge and he's knowledgeable. And a lot of guys, maybe that's what they want to do and that's how they feel comfortable sexually. But for a lot of other guys, that's not necessarily something that kind of feels right for them, or it doesn't feel right for them all of the time. And so there's this kind of unspoken pressure for them to fit that mold when really they're wanting to do something else sexually. So kind of leaning into that something else can be quite healthy and beneficial for kind of dissolving those parameters, dissolving those really rigid ideas of what it means to be a man sexually. And some of that can, some of that can look like just letting go a little bit, surrendering a little bit more, not being so assertive, maybe letting your partner take, you know, control or take charge a little bit more, be a little more submissive, right? Not in a really pegging kind of sense, but just in a sense of like letting your partner be more open and vocal about what they want and just kind of changing that dynamics, those power dynamics a little bit.
Interesting, because on my holiday, I was hanging out with this lady that I've been seeing quite frequently. We've got a very nice open sexual relationship, and she just said to me like casually, she's like, yeah, what's a fantasy? What's a fantasy that you've always wanted to try? And we've done quite a few things, I'll have you know, Cam Fraser, without going into the nitty gritty. But there I had an opportunity. I was like, okay, what's a fantasy that we haven't done? And one part of my brain said, well, maybe you should let her know that you have floated the idea of possibly just lying on the floor naked and then she like playfully stomp on you with some high heels. But then the other part of my brain, which must be this part of this man box, just goes, no, don't say that. Don't say that. That might feel a little bit demeaning. And I wonder how much of that is due to like the societal construct I've been force fed as a man versus how much of just being an awkward human being that is. Because there's clearly there's a human element to it as well, isn't there? It's not just full man, like, no, I don't. don't want to do that because I'm a man. There must be a human element, but it is interesting, the different ratios.
Yeah,
I wish I asked her to do it now. I'm getting excited just thinking about it.
You're right, man. There's that anxiety element. There's that human element. But like at the end of the day, you're putting restrictions, regardless of what it is, you're putting these restrictions on your expression of sexuality. And those restrictions, as long as they're within the realm of consent and safety, are kind of warranted. But anything else is kind of restricting your experience of pleasure. And me as a kind of sex positive educator, I think that's something we need to work on. We need to experience more pleasure in our lives.
Yes, if anyone's got a fork, I'd just like to scramble my ego a little bit so I'm more opportunic in the future. Small penis syndrome is another thing that quite a lot of males are almost brainwashed with from an early age, Cam Fraser.
Totally, man. And this is kind of semi-related to the man box as well. Part of the idea of being a quote-unquote real man is having a huge cock. Mm. And that's perpetuated by movies, TV shows, songs, pornography, of course. And for most guys, when I talk to them about the size of their penis and I talk about average measurements and I talk to them about like anatomy and pleasure and sex positions and things that you can do to take away from like the emphasizing or the overemphasizing of your penis, typically that's enough to help them kind of overcome anxiety about the size of their penis. But for some guys, that's kind of not enough. There's this excessive concern and this excessive worrying about whether they're big enough or whether they're man enough or whether they're going to be able to pleasure their partner enough. And this is kind of like a penis shame almost. And it's like this emotional feeling of inferiority. And that is small penis syndrome, or sometimes called short man syndrome. And so it's like it's almost like a generalized anxiety disorder in a sense, right? I'm hesitant to kind of label it a disorder, but it is kind of this over-the-top feeling of anxiety, which tends to permeate in other areas of their life as well. So it isn't just related to the size of their cock. It's typically something a bit more robust than that. But for those guys that are maybe struggling with that feeling, there's practices out there. So if you're open, I can share about some of those practices.
Yes. Well, I'd be interested to hear that. I think it is such a weird thing because you mentioned then, are you big enough down there? Are you man enough down there? Can you pleasure your partner? And I think they are separate things, right? Because you hear it all the time. Girl tells guy, penis size doesn't matter. It's the motion in the ocean, not the size of the vessel out of the deep blue sea. But I would almost argue that most guys, if for them it's not actually about the pleasuring side of things. I don't think people look down and go, wee willy winky, can't pleasure anybody. It's more literally like, more in the category of being tall versus being short. It's a sense of pride. It's a sense of that male sort of like the characteristics of what it means to be a man. I would personally say that it is. It's more to do with the masculinity side of things, more so than the pleasure side of things. And I'm trying to think back of all examples over the years that maybe I have been conned into thinking that the average penis size is bigger than it is, or whatever it is. I can't remember too many movies and songs and things like that in media actually swaying my opinion. For me, I think it was really sewn into me in like my mid-high school years, at boys' sleepovers and stuff, where pretty much every grade 9 and 10 boy would have pretty much doubled the size of his penis, like just going around in circles, "Ooh, how big are you?" And then everyone would just inflate like to the nth degree. And I remember being last in the circle and just hearing these ridiculous numbers. Like some boy said he was 37. Like, and I just remember being mortified because I'd barely even hit puberty yet. Just think, what is going on? I think those things almost probably still haunt me to this day. I reckon that by and old, that is the most intense bit of penis size morphing into my subconscious that ever happened. Grade 10 sleepover. Thanks a lot, James Higgins.
I think you're hitting the nail on the head, man. There's a lot of like early adolescent messages and kind of conditioning that we have around the bigger is better mentality. And then that's kind of, subtly reinforced by kind of people in society, by women, the people we date, by other guys, and the messages that we receive. And one of the ways of kind of reframing the way that we relate to our cock and the way that we kind of appreciate and understand it is to start to like literally relate to it differently. So instead of like using it as this like yardstick, as this measuring stick for our masculinity, our ego, for how much of a man we are, we can slowly start to kind of rewrite our relationship and frame it towards pleasure, right? So oftentimes it's, you're right, it's not kind of pleasure oriented, it's kind of masculinity oriented. But if we can slowly start to self-pleasure and masturbate and kind of relate to our cock in a slowly but subtly different way, we can very gradually start to overcome those messages of penis size anxiety.
Yeah, very interesting indeed, the way ideas are sown and trying to break out of those preconceived notions over the time. That's why I always like following the Cam Fraser on Instagram, always posting good stuff, always good fun to chat. Have a great week and we shall chat to you next Monday, Cam Fraser.
Looking forward to it, man. Thanks very much. Sex Saturdays.